one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh,
what do you think? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
Welcome to another episode of The League presented by Dead End Sports in conjunction with Dead End Gaming. That's the part of the fucking intro I'd be forgetting. But anyway, I'm your host, or one of them, FIFA 24/7. I'm here with Mr. Dead End Hip Hop himself, Mr. KB Inge.
What up?
I'm also here with Mr. AKA, Mr. Disrespect, Mr. I Fuck Yo Baby Mama's Sister.
And her mama too. But also, AKA, the whole family.
God damn it, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Hella disrespectful. So, all right, look, since the last time we gave you a podcast, we were beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah. Beginning of the playoffs for the restart league.
For the restart league. Mm-hmm. We are still somewhere in the middle of the season on the
Dead End Sports League, our league. We are in the conference
in the Dead End Sports League, and then in the original league
we like in week five or some shit like that,
eight. Like seven or eight.
Week eight actually, because I know I got a bye week. So it's week eight.
So we somewhere in the middle of the season over there. But let's start with the original league, because that's the least action, that's the slowest moving one. And I've done that a little bit on purpose, even though I know I said 72 hours. I've been pushing it out. You know, it seems like a lot of people got a lot of personal stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sports. It's just a lot. So I didn't want to add pressure of that league as well. Oh, by the way, I like the Jays. I see you.
We was in sync today.
Okay.
With
okay.
The outfit and everything.
Yeah, I didn't know it was wearing all black. Everything.
Yo, this is the last week of my Black History Month. Shit, I got to show out.
Hell yeah. But, you know, so in that league, I played the Ravens. He's a user again, so he came back. I was telling both of y'all, man, like, it was a good game. My squad is I think, roster-wise, I think I have the best squad in the restart league. I'm just saying.
You say that every season, bro. Like, I'm like,
because you know what, my GM,
and I'm just saying, like, you always you have that confidence every season. 100%. So it's like, when you say it now, it don't mean shit to me.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Because you know, always
when
say,
I keep beating this man over here. It is what.
Hey,
it is.
Have you been to the Super Bowl?
Okay, that's the one thing.
Hey,
how many have you won? You look like the real Bills out here, don't you?
I've only been to, well, y'all don't count the old school. Y'all don't count the ABA years. Y'all don't count the ABA years when I was running the shit.
Okay, whatever. But either way, I played the Ravens user in that league. And what the fuck is his name? Expert, real name Cliff. And even though my roster is superior, the way this man runs the ball, he didn't really do nothing. He ran a total of like maybe 40 times for like 60 total yards.
He ran 40 times?
Bruh. So he took Jonathan Taylor, because you know you took Nick Chubb. And then he traded away Saquon. And he has another back. I want to say Najee Harris.
How is Jonathan Taylor?
I shut him down. He had like 34 carries or 30 carries for 40 yards.
That's the thing. That's the reason why I let him go.
But that was against me, because the next game after that, he did.
Like, well, I mean, shit, that's that. I was just talking about user-wise.
Yeah.
For me, Jonathan Taylor, like, he's good. He can bounce off players. Mm-hmm. It's just that he don't have breakaway speed.
Gotcha.
Like, he's quick, but it don't.
He ain't a home run hitter.
Yeah, he ain't a home run hitter.
I got you.
Like, he's good enough to get you. He's good enough to get you there, but he ain't going to take you up top. He ain't Joe Mixon.
Nah, he's not. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. But anyway, I beat him 10-16, and I felt a little disappointed, only because my roster is so much better that I felt I should have just blew him out. But as I was telling y'all, man, he runs so much that
He takes the timeout.
And now seeing, like, playing him now when there is such a disparity in the roster, I'm like, this is why when the rosters are even closer, he wins so much. Because that time of possession is a motherfucker, you know? And I didn't feel pressed, like, to try to score quick, None of that. But it inherently just applies that type of pressure when you possess the ball for so long. But it is what it is, man. I got the win 10-16. I definitely wanted to blow him out just, you know, to take out all my frustration. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But it is what it is. I got the win. I think I play him later on down the road. I think I only got maybe one or two more user games in that particular league. I know it's been a little slow motion, but Nick, how has the restart league been for you?
Restart has been okay. What are you talking about, the restart or the original?
Oh, the original. My bad.
The original league, I'm just going through the motions of the season right now. Mm-hmm. There's not really much of an update because of the how we advance.
Yeah.
So I'm in my bye week right now. My guys still look good. I the one thing that's standing out to me this season, I don't really have that many draft picks. I don't have any first or second round draft picks because of all the shit that I was doing.
Really need them? Like,
I don't, but as far as I'm looking ahead, depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that I just re-signed or I'm still continuously to re-sign all my guys, I'm realizing, oh, okay, I need that third layer.
Yep.
Cause when these niggas get old,
yep.
I gotta have people in the background. So like, I'm now starting to become more detached from my guys. Like, okay, this nigga's already good, so he is who he is. But who's up next? Yeah. That's what I'm kind of getting into.
All right. What about you, Ken, with your Detroit Lions?
Kind of the same thing, man. I think I'm going to bring most of my guys back. I did get rid of one middle linebacker because I wanted some of the other guys. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really afford him because I like to keep cash reserve. So I just let him go in exchange for some other guys. I'm trying to bring back my offensive lineman. Who keeps bullshit.
Man, I'm trying to resign everybody.
Yeah, he get on my fucking nerves.
It's a curse when you have so many good players because it's like, bro, you have to pay these niggas. Yeah.
And you got to make tough decisions. Some people you got to let walk.
Yep. Because I got a good corner who's like 90 something. And he's been really great for me, but I'm trying to decide if I want to bring him back because that'll give me three corners over 90.
Ugh. You think that's just too much?
No. But
it depends on who you play as well. So, so right, like you got to match your roster to the people that you know that you're going to have to see going to the Super Bowl and whoever you see in the Super Bowl.
Yep. So that's the decision I got to make because we're in week 8. So this is the week to make that decision. Same thing with Galladay. Am I going to bring him back? So I think I am, even if he becomes like my third best receiver, because I got a lot of young talent that I want to put out there on the field. But I was trying to sign my center first. Mm-hmm. So I'll see how much bread I have left over and if I want to make that decision or trade him. But I think that's where I'm at. I had a bye week last week, so I'm kind of like Nick, just kind of going through it right now.
Yeah.
But I started out 0-3, so I'm 3-3 now. So we're starting to recover and get back.
That's what's up. In terms of roster perspective or roster moves for me, I got rid of Christian Kirk. I got rid of Christian Kirk because I drafted Johnny Wilson, the 6'7" fucking behemoth wide receiver of mine. And I was noticing like with Christian Kirk on the roster, he just wasn't getting any time. So, you know, to get this guy on the field and hopefully develop his dev trait, I had to do what I had to do, you know. In terms of my free agents, I'm in that period where you got to make some tough decisions. So I'm letting a lot of people walk. I'm going to generate more cap space only because there's people I got to pay. So I pay Micah Parsons, my outside linebacker. Woo, he was, boy, $150 million.
150?
Bruh.
What are you doing?
He's like the number two or number three rated outside linebacker in the game.
Okay, but 150, how many years is that?
Five? Yeah, it was 5 years, 150. Yeah, he was.
That's a historic linebacker.
He's that nice. And my defense wouldn't be what it is without him.
All right.
So I got to have him. I'm going to re-sign. I think I re-signed Dylan Moses already. So again, so my strategy was, let me load up when I have all of these rookie contracts. Let me OP my team. And then as my young guys, I got to pay them my overpriced old guys like Aaron Donald. Last year, I traded going into this season or the offseason, I traded Khalil Mack, away. I'm not going to re-sign Aaron Donald. There's just certain guys, even OBJ. OBJ is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. I'm not planning to re-sign him. You know, so I'm taking the Belichick approach. Mm. I'd rather let him go a year too early than I hang on to him because I got other guys. So I'm going to just have to retool and reshape how I play. You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool with that. Like, obviously, I always use the OBJ as a decoy or as the primary weapon. Mm. I won't have that anymore. So it's going to be on my quarterback and my running back with a run game. You know, so I'm cool. You know, I was set up for this. I had the foresight to kind of get my roster right in terms of, you know, the transition to what we look like moving in the future. But I'm cool. So the Dennis Sports League. Ken, who did you play in the first round of the playoffs?
The fucking Steelers, man.
Oh, this nigga boy.
Yeah. It would have been a lot closer if we didn't beat ourselves. But you know, I mean, he can play, man.
He can play. I told you he can. He knows how to do the user lurk with the linebacker as well. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna take out your first, maybe even second option, depending on how long you take the pass.
Yep. So it was already a tough matchup. His team is already ratings wise better than mine.
He got the Fornes Buckner, bro. When I seen that shit, I'm like, bro,
can do nothing with him.
That nigga get off the line quick. That's, you see how my run defense is, yep, with the Colts. Like, is it? That's the reason why.
So yeah, it was one and done for me.
I feel you. So in the first round, me and Nick, we played each other. It was a good game. That nigga Joe Mix, bruh. Like, bruh. You was not lying.
I was, yeah.
So, Ken, look, man, let me tell you. I don't think I've played an elusive back that has power tendencies as devastating as Joe Mixon. Because he had a couple runs where I had three or four tacklers. He broke all that shit. And he got a breakaway.
He broke two tackles. Because at first I was hesitant to use him, like, heavily because I was down. But I was like, someone told me, like, just keep running the ball. Bro, this nigga was breaking. When his X-Factor hit, because I was running, like, I was able to run on FIFO. When his X-Factor hit, bro, that nigga was unstoppable. He was like AP in Minnesota.
Yeah. Like, there was nothing I can do. And I have three-star linebackers. Mm-hmm. I have three-star linebackers on that damn team. And he broke all of their tackles, bro. There was nothing I can do. But again, just like in the Ravens, in the restart league, that Bills defense, I've been saying it all season, bro. Like, it got better because now my linebacking core is nice, but I still don't, I'm not confident in stopping. And I'll prove to you right away. Who was your wide receiver that you
Corey Davis.
On the right side?
Yeah.
So Tre'Davious White gets in the zone. I have him on bottleneck as his primary X factor. He's one step ahead and he's a pick artist, right? I get this man in the zone. One play on defense after we get back on defense, right? Nick throws a damn bomb to who?
Corey Davis.
Bombed him up over 20 yards out the zone just like this. What the fuck? Why? Like, what is bottleneck then? Because you're supposed to win aggressive matchups in man-to-man press coverage.
He did, though. He did when the game was on the line, because that's what the game was, because we were going back and forth. Like, it was it was the closest. Well, it was 19 to 17 at one point. And I had 4th and 5. This is the second half. And I was going for it because it was like, this is the game. Shit, if I don't get this, then he's going to keep going. Corey Davis was open again. I threw it to the nigga. He caught that bitch. This nigga, Tre'Davious White, just hit him in the back and he dropped the ball. And it was like, it was in the red zone, damn near, like, at least by the 30.
Like five yards away.
It was like 30. It was at his 30. Like, if I would have got that, that changes the whole game landscape. Because, again, we going back and forth. He dropped that shit. It was a wrap. Because then now he's back at my 30. And from there on, the game is what it was. But
DK burnt you, bro. DK burnt you.
Go ahead. I'll say my part later. Yeah,
and I was telling Ken that it was so interesting. Every time I call my main play, my bunch tight end pistol set, and I pick my vertical route, you pick the one defense that it just demolishes. Cover 6. And as soon as I read it, I tell people all the time, like, when we play Madden and shit, the first read when I pick that play, and I don't give a fuck about telling people my secrets. It is what it is. Stop the shit. In cover 6, I can identify it in a half second because that safety over that strong side where my wide receivers are, instead of taking a back pedal, he takes a sidestep. The moment I see that nigga take half of a sidestep, I'm going deep. Now, you did get me once. You did get me the third time I tried you.
And that was my fault. Because you know me, Ken, I always say no big plays. So he got it over on me on the first one. And this is how I know I'm used to the Colts. And I haven't been paying attention to the Bengals enough. So talk as much shit as you want. That's fine. I got it. Coming up this season, I will pay more attention. But he got over on my secondary the first time. I'm like, all right, They saw it. They know, because that's the only way he got. He got up 14 points based off of just that one, those two plays alone. And then the second time he did it, bro, I was like, that's the game. Because I'm like, bro, I can't. I literally have to personally guard that shit. Yep. And the reason why I don't like doing that is because he gets the middle.
Yep.
Because that's why I'm trying to choose. Because he got to choose. I got to choose. Now, of course, I'd rather take the you know, breadcrumbs than the loaf. But by the time I was like, all right, now I have to fully commit. That's when I got the turnover on him. And the game could have been more interesting from there. But at the same time, I'm thinking about those 14 points.
Yeah.
Like, that, I could have stopped that early.
Yeah, because DK, I think he wound up in the game 5 or 6 catches for like 200
yards. And I can't wait for the next man to come out because DK ain't that fast. I promise you, DK.
So he's not 95 speed?
He's not 95.
So the way he done 8 down Buda Baker in that first 2 or 3 games of the season?
I'm telling you, he is at most 93. He ain't 95, bro. He ain't burning most.
He
doesn't
seem like he's faster than he should be in the game.
Okay, so
they got him like what's his name? Calvin Ridley for the Falcons. So he ain't that fast, bro.
Here's the thing with DK, in my opinion, right? Like, he's more fast than quick. He's not quick twitch or, you know, little jukey hesitation type motherfucker. He's like long range speed.
He's long range speed. He's like Terrell Owens to me.
Yes.
But Terrell Owens ain't the fastest motherfucker.
No, but I think DK's faster than T.O. was because T.O. still runs a 4.6, 4.5.
Yeah, and I'm not saying T.O. is slow. Remember,
yeah, DK ran a 4.3.
A 4.3 in Madden should be at least minimum 94, 95 speed.
Yeah, that's about right.
I promise. Legit. I'll concede to that, but to me it was just like, bro, this nigga shouldn't be burning my motherfucker. So
my DK Metcalf, my version of DK with the Bills, he's 97 speed. Because, you know, when you upgrade physical and also deep route, speed.
Yeah, speed goes up. Yeah, so, okay, I'll give you that.
But, yeah, I beat Nick. I don't remember by how much.
Don't even say the score, nigga. Don't even try to look at me like I'm going to tell you the score. Ken already said we got to keep going.
But it was a good game. I didn't blow you out. It was definitely back and forth. The difference in the game was the DK touchdowns. Literally. That's all it was.
We'll be back after this quick break.
So let's talk about the main league. Because we are now currently in the off season. A lot has happened. A lot has transpired. The last time we left you guys, it was the start of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'll go first. I had a first round bye. That's simple. Nick, Ken, what was your first round like?
I played Adrian. Mm-hmm. No. First round, I played the Niners.
Okay.
And that was a great defensive game by me. I was really proud and hyped about that game, man. I made all the right calls. I scouted.
That's Polo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You used to play the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know the team's not built, but defensively, like, we were locked in. And so that was a good one, but it disconnected, like, in the fourth quarter defensive battle.
That's when he was like, let's give you 13 points.
Yeah. He spot me 12 points because I was up 12-0 with 4 minutes left in the game. I'm in the red zone. I'm kicking field goal at minimum. It's 15. So he tried to spot me 12. I was like, nah, I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a whole game. You got to come back, you know, come back on me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, nah, we good. Then I play Adrian. And everything that could go wrong went wrong in that game. Dalvin Cook fumbled. We didn't run the ball and execute well. And the holes were there. I just missed them.
And that's the Packers for the people listening.
Yep. I just missed them. Aaron Rodgers threw me 2 interceptions. 2.
That gambler, baby.
2. And the first one, my corner just stood there and just watched the ball literally go right over his head. The second one was in the end zone and he threw it and that one just dropped. And then he did a scramble and I came up for the sack and then he threw it to Adams and Adams like caught it going out of bounds. They reviewed it, upheld it. And then and that came after after a field goal penalty running into the kicker. They did that 3 times. My guys did that 3 times. They haven't done that the whole fucking season.
It's frustration.
The whole fucking season. And this was just in the first half. It was like 3-0. Damn near going into halftime. And then they did that shit, gave him the ball back, and then he scored a touchdown. Devontae Adams mossed like 2 motherfuckers. And then it was like 9-0 going into halftime. And then, you know, he just kind of took control you know, from there. And like I said, it was just a bunch of issues, interception. It was just, and everything talk, just went, just fell apart, bro.
And we talked offline. And I told you, like, you know, Green Bay is one of my teams that I like to play regs with, you know what I'm saying? And that boy, Aaron Rodgers, man, he throws darts, bro. Like,
he does. Yeah,
he does. I saw you had him on third and long one time, and Devontae Adams just did a streak route up, and he just threw it right, right there every time.
Yeah, they couldn't get over there and quick enough.
Yeah, for me, that was a, because we all in the same division. So now I'm like, okay, I wanted to see Adrian with his guys.
That gunslinger animation that Aaron Rodgers has is
he called a good game. I could have called a better defensive game. Offensively, I didn't have many possessions because we didn't get first downs. So I think I only had like three or four possessions. So I couldn't get into a rhythm in terms of calling plays. And, you know, he just dominated the game. It was a good game, Bob. So I give him props.
Yep. I had Foreign Kyle first round. I don't mind saying that because shit, I lost to the champs. So, but it was the thing about me and Foreign is that
and he's the Washington football team, by the way.
Yeah. Our matchups, like, it's always battle back to back, like defensive battle the first half. Mm-hmm. And then the second half is when I try to be like, all right, fuck it. I'm tired of playing safe. Let me do something. And then he always capitalized off that mistake. And then from then on, it's a wrap. Cause I think he had,
stay patient, man.
He cracked it open because he was using Alex Smith very well. He was able to get my secondary isn't well enough to adjust to like on the run, scramble the type of QBs when they throw on the run. So he was getting a lot of shit and I was falling for it too, as far as trying to bring pressure to Alex Smith because I'm trying to motherfucker Tiny Tim that motherfucker. But it was a good game. But now moving forward, I know that going into this draft, I need to get secondary help and more pressure, even though Khalil Mack.
Shit, guy.
That's my guy, bro. Defensive player of the year. That's my guy.
That's what's up. So, like I said, I have first round bye. Then the second person that I played was... Who was it?
You played...
Because I played the Bills in the AFC Championship game.
I forgot who you played.
Shit. Was it the Titans? No. The Bills beat the Titans. Oh, Spike.
He played Miami,
I beat the commissioner. He has the Dolphins... That game, look, man, I've been saying it all season. My defense was extremely porous. And, when I needed to clamp down on the Dolphins, I really couldn't do it. He had one lucky motherfucking play, bro, where it was the end of the half. I had got the ball back and I scored and he only had like maybe 30 seconds. We both had all three of our timeouts and stuff. And this dude threw the fucking luckiest Hail Mary, jumped up, caught it over two people and scored a damn touchdown. So he went into the half 14-14. I got the ball back. I think I scored, but then, you know, he was driving. I couldn't stop him when I wanted or needed to stop him. So it's the most frustrating thing when you're calling the right defensive calls and it's just, it doesn't matter, you know? So it's super frustrating, but I beat him nonetheless. It wasn't a blowout or anything like that. It was relatively a good game. And then I'll fast forward to the AFC Championship game. I played the Bills and them extra. Defensive game for the most part. You know, we were kind of trying to establish ourselves offensively. And, you know, I had a couple big plays. He had a couple big plays. But when it came down to it, I couldn't run the ball to keep the possession because I have great tackles, but my center and my guards are all like 75, 76. Mm. So I couldn't run. I couldn't really protect Lamar like that. He was getting, you know how he brings the, brings the people. I couldn't establish dominance. So all that being said, he had the ball. He milked the clock. He walked it down on me. And he kicked the field goal and he beat me. But I had three timeouts with about 50 some seconds to go. And, you know, I was running my plays and I came into a situation where I had about 10 seconds left. It was fourth and two and his defense was playing back. So I ran an out route to the left. And the DB was about 8 to 10 yards off of him when he caught it. But the DB came up and hit him and he dropped the ball. And that was the damn game. And I still had two timeouts. So I was trying to play it smart. Mm-hmm. Let me get the first down. So I get three more downs. Plus I got two timeouts. I'm good. And the thing is, I didn't need a touchdown to win. I could have just kicked the field goal for overtime. And he dropped the damn ball. So
you had a lot of drops in that game. Larry dropped two. So, I tell y'all all the time, it's math. Because even though it didn't affect the outcome, it could have potentially.
Yes.
If you kick that field goal.
No, 100%.
Because then you kick a field goal, you win.
Yep. Well, it would have been tied.
And
you went for
it, and he dropped it.
Yeah. Nope. No.
You had 17 points. If you would have had those extra 3 points, it would have been 20-20.
I would have beat him by three.
Yeah.
Well, with the two field goals. Yes, 100%. 100%. So I could have taken the points, but also I feel that I called the right play call in the moment. Executed it to the standpoint of scheming my guy open. And the whole reason why I brought somebody like him to my team to make that damn play, and he missed it twice.
And what did he do in the offseason?
Retired.
My thing with FIFO, and I think is that all of us at this point, we all gonna die on our sword.
Yeah.
Like, kid, I think as much as you're going to be like, take the points, he ain't never going to take the points. With me, I'll gamble. Like, there's certain times, like, I'll take the points just because
I thought maybe because his kicking game was a little off, too, because he missed an extra point, mm-hmm. too. So I was like, he probably didn't have confidence in his kicker.
Didn't have, and it wasn't the kicker, it was the internet. Oh. And I'm hardwired, but it is what it is. You know, it still lags sometimes.
Well, I know somebody that always take the points, and he don't won three straight damn Super Bowls.
Who, Kyle?
Foreign.
He takes the points.
He takes the points every time.
So to me, it's also against my opponent. And I don't really know him extra like that, but I know he's hyper aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. You're 100% right, Cam. If I would have taken the points, I would have won the game. But I like what I did in the offseason, but it is what it is. We'll talk a little bit about that. Did you already go?
Yeah, I'm done. I was out.
So you was out? Okay, so.
Form won the shit. Fuck that nigga.
Did anybody watch the game? Because we can come back and do another episode once we do the draft and everything, so we'll have something.
Right, I watched the first half.
You thought you were in the Estra's stream?
Huh? Did I thought I was in the wrong stream?
Yeah.
Nah. Why you say that?
Because you were talking to M. Estra. I thought.
I don't know. I wanted him to see it. I'm me talking to him. I was being a troll to Ford. Because I don't want that nigga to win. Hell no. Nah, fuck that nigga.
This fool won with Alex Smith.
He won with the Washington football team.
I know, bro.
Not even with Alex Smith. Fuck all that. The Washington football team.
He was down. I watched the whole game. He was down 14-0.
I was surprised. I was like, oh shit, MS should go get this shit. Then he started doing some goofy shit as soon as I said that shit.
Yep, Nick.
As soon as I was like, I shouldn't even say nothing. Because I was like, oh shit, he was
14-0. Then he threw an interception.
In the, was it the red zone?
Yep, and foreign scoring off of it. Then he threw another interception. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, he was foreign off the rails. He's off the rails.
But then he picked off foreign. So I'm like, oh, okay, he recovered. He got it, you know, he's like
what FIFO said, he's hyper aggressive.
And he threw another interception. And
he plays smart. He plays smart until he has a lead.
Yep.
Once he has that lead, that's when he started throwing up shit. I'm like, bruh, you throwing up shit like.
It was a 27-0 run.
That's crazy in football.
Eight interceptions.
Ooh.
MS through eight interceptions.
Damn. The thing about that I've realized.
He could have ran the ball the whole game and won it. Possibly. After being up 14-0.
The thing I realized when you play foreign is a couple of things. Don't be super reactive to his adjustments. Run what the fuck you called. Don't allow him to dictate what you do.
He can't dictate shit. Really? Shit. No, he only dictates shit when you make the mistake. That's why I was like, he's the Belichick of our shit.
I'm talking pre-snap. Like he does, I don't know if you like pre-snap offensively and defensively, he does a lot at the line of scrimmage.
And it don't mean shit.
I agree to a degree. And the reason why I say that is because as the offensive player, don't adjust. Don't adjust because he adjusted. Let him adjust and you run what the hell you with what you. Don't let your eyes deceive you, basically, is what I'm saying. The other thing is you have to stay patient with him because all he's waiting on is the mistake. But if you stay patient with your play calling and how you want to attack him and not always go for the big play, he's beatable. But he is, again, like I said, I think pre-snap, especially defensively, he's the best player we have in the league. And you just have to stay patient with your play call.
He baits you. He's a baiter. He'll put certain defensive packages like, all right, I'm about to go up top with this dude. But that's the opposite you want to do.
That's what he wants you to do.
He wants you, if you run the ball most of the time, he will, because he's the Washington football team. So it's not like they got a great run defense. Mm-hmm. It's just him having to do it. You can beat him. And I know I'm saying this shit as a nigga that lost to him a couple times. I'm going to get, wait till I get my guys.
But here's the thing.
Bad news bear is coming, Ken. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Even though it was early in the season, I beat him too. And it was because I stay patient with the run. I wasn't trying to beat him over the head with Andy Isabella and Mark.
You can't do that because he going, unless it's like obvious, don't do it.
Yep.
He has a lot of different game plans and a lot of different strategies for a number of situations he's seen.
Yes, he does.
So he can adjust on the fly.
Yep.
And if you can't adjust, at some point, he's going to get you. I've seen him play too many people too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And people, fair, including myself, you fail to adjust. And you don't have a plan B, C, or D. And he does.
Yep.
He does. Yeah. So but
again, shout out to
three motherfucking P. I wanted to play him too.
It ain't three P, right?
Yeah,
he's won three in a row.
That's three in a row.
I thought because the Ravens, who won the first one in this?
This is the first.
Yeah, this is the first one in this.
And then 21.
Yes,
and then he won the two in the original.
He won two, but yeah, because I remember Ravens won one of them.
The first one, though.
He's won after the Ravens.
Yeah,
he's been the only winner. In the originals, since the Ravens, and then now in the restart league.
Mm-hmm.
He came. How long ago is it now that we met him 2 years ago? He came in this motherfucker and ransacked everybody.
Came in or was invited in? Who invited him in?
That was his. That was your punk ass who invited him.
I wasn't talking about the Madden League. I was just talking about like the tournament that we had in the studio.
It's like a vampire, Nick. They say you never let him in the house.
Shit.
You never invite him in.
Yeah, well, he's been dumb. But look, at the end of the day, he makes people step their game.
And he pisses me off because he don't even be giving a fuck about the regular season. He had like a 9-7 record or some shit.
I didn't think he was going to even make it.
I didn't think he gave a fuck this year.
He started like 0-4, 0-5. Like, it was bad.
I know.
He was just chilling like these niggas. That's why it's the cockiness that I fuck that nigga, man.
He don't even talk.
Exactly. That's his game.
Talk shit.
He talks shit in the game. Yeah,
he talks shit.
And he be texting me too. I don't like to respond to that nigga. I don't give a fuck. Nah, he ain't shit.
He talks shit.
He ain't my champion. Oh, you gotta have a team name to be
in the NFC though.
Yeah.
You know, I get through. I wanted to play him, man. I really did.
I think we'll play that motherfucker eventually.
But yeah, man. Next time you're on the podcast, we're going to talk about our off-season moves. Hey, my O-line is crazy. I'm just letting y'all motherfuckers know now. But yeah, we're going to talk about our off-season moves,
the draft
went, mm-hmm. And what are our expectations for the new season. So make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you come back when you see that motherfucking notification go off, whether you're listening to us on a podcast or you're watching us live on Twitch. Make sure you tune the fuck in, bruh. So we appreciate you guys listening. That was another episode of The League. We out, man. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at Blue Nile. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.